We are up to the next part of in between brachos and psukuzim that nobody says. So we discussed the first part last week. Let's talk about korbanos and why they should be said, and perhaps why we are negligent in saying them at the end of the day. There are multiple reasons for why we recite the parshios and the mishnayos of korbanos. We're going to give three reasons, then we'll jump into the exact what and how of what we're saying, but the three reasons are important just so we know exactly what we're doing and why we're doing it. The first is the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin says in Daf Lamed Aleph, we discussed this when we spoke about Birchas HaTorah, but the Gemara says that we should divide our learning into thirds. A third of your learning should be Chumash, a third of your learning should be Mishnah, and a third of your learning should be Talmud. So Tosfos says that for this reason, we make sure every single day we recite the Parsha of the Talmud, of the Korban Talmud. We recite the Mishnah of Ezehu Mekuman, which follows that, and we recite the Talmud of the Brace of Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which is right before Sukkot Zimra. And this is cited in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Kavu Lishnos Achar Parshas HaTalmud, we established Parshas HaTalmud, Perek Ezehu Mekuman, who Brace the Rabbi Shmuel, Kadei Sheyizka, Kol Adam Milmod, B'chayom, that every person can learn Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Debraisa Rabbi Shmuel, Havi B'makom Gemara, Shehem Medrash Gemara, and Medrash is like Gemara. Now these pieces are therefore here for Talmud Torah. So that's the first Kavanah. The first Kavanah of Korbanos is that it's for Talmud Torah. It's not about davening. So if that's the case then, so the Magen Avraham says you need to understand what you're saying. If it's a form of tefillah, so then we say a lot of things without understanding what we're saying, and it's still tefillah. But if these things are for Talmud Torah, it's meaningless if you learn something and you don't understand what you're saying. So if that's the case, you'd have to understand it for what you're saying. You'd have to learn and understand what's going on in the Parsha of the Talmud, what's going on in the Parsha of Esa Mekuma, and all those different things as well. So that's reason number one. It's all about Talmud Torah. The second reason for Korbanos is that it's about Birchas HaTorah. And it's about the blessing over Torah. Gemara and Brachos says in Daf Yud Aleph that each section each section of Birchas HaTorah is for Torah, meaning Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, and there are three Birchas HaTorah corresponding to the three types of Torah that we have, and therefore the tshuva of Rav Natronai Gaon. Rav Natronai Gaon is one of the period of the Gaonim. Most of the tshuvas of the Gaonim come from Rav Natronai Gaon. So he says they would recite the Parshas HaTamid and Ezer Mekuman and then the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel Omer to make sure that you make Birchas HaTorah on Sukkah, and Birchas HaTorah on Mishnah, and Birchas HaTorah on Gemara. And that's what it's really about as well. And that is the point of these three things. And it's simply a different form than saying Birchas Kohanim, Elu Dvarim, and Elu Dvarim Sha'adam. It's just a different way, right? We say those three things for the same reason. It's just a different way to get to that. And this order is brought in the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon and Elu Draham. By this time, they already added in Birchas Kohanim before Parshas HaTamid. And the reason why Ezer Mekuman, we'll discuss this later on, why is it so special, we'll talk about it later on. And the Shita B'Kubetza says the same thing as well, that it's all about fulfilling the different aspects for Birchas HaTorah, to make sure the blessing on learning covers Sukkim, Mishnah, and Gemara as well. Now, the Minhag Ashkenaz is that we separate the two topics. We learn each Seder on its own. The Siddur of the Tzlusa D'Avram, the Pnei Yeshua, explained that we don't use Parshas and Tamar Ezer Mekuman for our Birchas HaTorah nowadays. We kind of push it later into the Siddur because sometimes we recite Birchas HaTorah before Alos HaShachar. Before a person gets very up in the early in the morning, and they're learning early in the morning. And it's not the time to recite Korbanos. Korbanos are brought during the day, not when it's still dark outside. And therefore, we use other Psukkim and Mishnayos, and we push those other Psukkim and Mishnayos dealing with Korbanos later on into davening, so we don't rely on them for our Birchas HaTorah. That is reason number two for those three things. Reason number three is the general idea of Unishalma Parim Sifasenu, that the reciting of Korbanos make it as if we are actually offering Korbanos. And that is, I think, for most people, the Kavanah that they have when they're saying Korbanos. So this is in the place of actually bringing Korbanos. There's a Gemara in Megillah and in Tainus. Says the Gemara in Megillah and Tainus, Amar Avram, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Shema Chas V'Shalom Yisrael Chotzim L'Fanecha, maybe the Jewish people will sin. V'yata Osa Lehem Kadur HaMabul L'Kadur HaFlaga, you'll wipe them out like the generation of the dispersion, the generation of the flood. Amar Lo, Lav, no, I won't do it. Okay. So Amar Lefanu Ribono Shel Olam B'ma Eida. So how am I going to know? That's the line in the Torah. B'ma Eida, how am I going to know? Give me a promise. What's going to save the Jewish people? Amar Lo, Kachali, so take from me, Avram, I'll show you. Agol Meshuleshes, the whole Bris of Besarim. He takes all these animals, chops them up, and makes this whole ceremony. So that shows you that Korbanos is what's going to save the Jewish people. Amar Lefanu Ribono Shel Olam. So says Avram Zadzan, he's a very nudgy mood. So Avram says to Hashem, Tenach b'zman shebeis ha-migdash kayim. That's good. When there's a beis ha-migdash, you're right. They'll offer karbanos, and that'll prevent all the terrible things from happening to them. B'zman shebeis ha-migdash kayim, mati aleyam. But wow, now Hashem, there's no beis ha-migdash. What's going to be with my children? What's going to be the zechus to save them? Amar lo. So Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Kvar tikanti lehem seder karbanos. I set up the order of karbanos. Kol zman shekaruyin behen. Whenever you read about the korbanos, ma aleani aleim, I will make it for them. Kilu makriven lefanai korban. It is as if they have brought that korban. Umochal ani al kolam nesem, and I will forgive them for their sins. That's pretty straightforward, pretty clear. When you recite korbanos, it's as if you are bringing korbanos. The Beis Yosef says that you should recite also the pasuk of the shachat oso and vayikra. It references Akedas Yitzchak as well, as we spoke about last time. So that is the Parsha of Korbanos and why they are said. I'm going to put that all on the side for a moment, about the whether you should say them, how come they're not being said, what about women, all those types of things. I'll put that on the side, and then I'm going to do everything together at the end. The next thing that we have is the Parsha of Ketores, which got a lot of play in the last few months because of the Magefa and coronavirus, and you know, it's supposed to be help. So let's explain what's going on over there. The Noda Behuda has a tshuva in Madura Kam and Simen Yud, and he says that before you recite the Ketores, we actually recite the paragraph of Atahu Hashem Elokeinu Shehitiru, which we recite for everybody recites in Shul on Shabbos by after Musaf, because the Ketores makes people wealthy. Hashem is the one that makes people wealthy. And we want to remind ourselves that before we recite the Ketores is a segula for wealth. That's why the Kohen of the Beis HaMikdash only had to do it once in his lifetime, because it wasn't fair to have two segulas for wealth. That goes on to the next idea that a person that is a sandik, it's compared to offering the Ketores for a number of reasons. And that's why a person is not supposed to technically be a sandik more than once, because it's like you're taking too many segulas for wealth, and sandikos is a segula for being wealthy, but there are many people who take sandik more than once at the end of the day, and they're still poor. So it doesn't really make a difference. So so that is that idea from the Noda Behuda. So the Chassan Sofer, the grandson of the Chassan Sofer, writes in the Tshuva and Chelek Aleph, that the purpose of this paragraph is to highlight that we are continuing what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, Ra'atah Hashem Elokeinu Shehitiru, back then they offered Ketores, and we are continuing in that idea as well. And the other Korbanos don't need this, because the Korbanos existed with the Avos, and others even for the Beis HaMikdash. But the Ketores is special. The Ketores is only for the Beis HaMikdash. Because before the Beis HaMikdash, there were still Korbanos. And after the Beis HaMikdash, there we have Korbanos by saying it, but Ketores is special because it's special for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it has its own special introduction. The Zohar in Parshas Vayakel says that there's a great benefit to saying the Parsha of the Ketores every day. If a person recites it with Kavana, the Zohar says, then death will not have control over that location. He will be saved from all harm and bad things. And that is the source. That is the source of the idea of saying Ketores during a plague, and the Ketores is more beloved to Hashem than any other of the Avodos in the Beis HaMikdash, says the Zohar, and the benefit of reciting the Ketores is greater than the benefit of any other tefillah. Whew. Sounds very important. Therefore, it should be recited before davening, and that's why it's put where it is. And Rabbi Shimon says that if people knew how great the Ketores was, they would take each word and place a crown of gold upon it. If you have Kavana during Ketores, you have a place in this world and the next. That's what the Zohar says. So certainly it sounds, can't hurt. Right? Definitely not bad to say. It definitely seems like a lot of good things come along with it. So the Tshuva, the Marshal. Marshal in Siman Samach Dal has a very long and important Tshuva where he records many of his Minhagim of Davening, which are very important sources for Minhag Ashkenaz and how we practice and things he heard from his father, his grandfather, different Masorahs and how we daven. So he recites his grandfather, Rav Yitzchak Kolliver, who would say Pitum HaKetoros from a Sefer, so he wouldn't skip even one word, to make sure he said it carefully. And that relates to the idea of some people have Pitum HaKetoros on a klaf. They recite it carefully from a klaf as well. The Gemara in Krisus says that if you forget one of the spices, you're chayav misa. If you offer the actual Ketoros and you left the one out, you're chayav misa, death for leaving it out. And this is also the case, he says, with reciting the Parsha. Because the tefillah, reciting the Parsha of Ketoros, takes the place of actually offering the Ketoros. And if you say it without care and you skip one word inside reciting the Parsha of the Ketoros, then it's pretty bad. That's what he says. So the Maharash of Neustadt, Rav Shmuel of Neustadt, writes that there were some people who wouldn't recite the Ketoros because of this fear. They would just skip it, because if I say it, I get a lot of good stuff. But if I say it wrong, I get a lot of bad stuff. So they said, better not to say it at all. The Od Yosef Chaim Parshas Miketz says that we should not make a specific request that our recitation of the Ketoros should take the place of the actual Ketoros, because we don't want to be held responsible if we mess it up. So the person should understand, like, it's not the actual Ketoros, it's just this nice thing that I'm saying. Because there is this nervousness about saying it incorrectly. The Sfardim have a minhag to count the ingredients on their fingers. The Ben Ish Chaim Parshas Miketz and the Kaf HaChaim say the Sfardim will count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11 to make sure they don't skip anything at the end of the day. Okay, so that's the Parshas Ketoros. Next is Ezehu Mekoman. The Orchos Chaim, Rav Aaron of Lunel, writes in the Hilchos Mea Brachos that we say Ezehu Mekoman. It was enacted in order to be able to read about all of the Korbanos. Ezehu Mekoman is a Mishnayos in Maseches Zvachim that lists all the Korbanos that are brought. And like a basic overview. It's like the cliff notes of all of Korbanos. That's what Ezehu Mekoman is. The Lev Chaim says that everyone should say at least Ezehu Mekoman because this contains all the Korbanos. Even if you can't say all the Parashas that are in Korbanos, but if you say these Mishnayos, you kind of, you know, it's a catch-all. You get everything in. This is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Shulchan Aruch Harav writes in Siman Aleph, if a person can learn, ulavin, understand, ein lomar afilu parshas korbanos b'chol yom el leprakim, v'day lo b'amiras perak ezu mekumen. He says a person's busy and they have a lot of learning going on, they don't waste time saying other korbanos, at least you should say ezu mekumen every single day, ki gadol talmud hamei l'day maisek, because this will teach you actually how the korbanos are brought. The Beis Yosef cites the Ra'ah of Aaron HaKohen, who says that ezu mekumen was chosen as a form of Mishnayos to learn in the morning because there's something very special about it. And that is, it's the only Masechta in Shas of Mishnayos, perhaps, that doesn't have Machlokas. There's no disagreement. It's just a list of what was done in the Beis HaMikdash without any disagreement. It was a Mishnah Berura, clearly taught Mishnayos, that come all the way from Moshe on Har Sinai. It's the oldest form of Torah Sheba'al Peh, are those Mishnayos. Eventually they were written down by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, but it's an ancient form of Torah Sheba'al Peh coming all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Avraham Avraham says the same thing, the Prima Gadim writes the same thing as well. Several other reasons are brought in the tour for saying Ezehu Mekoman. Ezehu Mekoman has 344 words, which is plus one. You know, in Gematria there's Im HaKol, you can be one off, right? However that works. So plus one is the Gematria of Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah Sheba'al Peh, Torah Shebichsav. So that's another reference to him as well. The Torah says Ezehu Mekoman is learned after Parshas Tamid because of another very important Gemara in Menachos and Daf Kuf Yud. Listen to this. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mai Tichsiv, Zos Torah Sachatas, V'Zos Torah Sa'asham. Why does it say this is the Torah of the Korban Chatas? This is the Torah of the Korban Hashem. It just say Zos Chatas. This is the Chatas. What means the Torah? Kala Osik B'Torah Chatas, Kilu Hikriv, Chatas. Whoever involves himself in the learning about the Korban Chatas is if you brought it. And if you learn about the Korban Asham, it's if you have brought the Korban Asham. the idea, how does this work exactly? So the Maharal has a piece in the Gevuras Hashem. The Maharal says that every Maisa Mitzvah in this world performed has a Neshama as well. We are physical and we have a Neshama. And the Maharal says so too with Mitzvah. So there's the doing of the Mitzvah, but every action of Mitzvah also has a Neshama to it. And what is that? It's the Torah. If I can't have the Korban itself, which is the guf, the body of the mitzvah, I can at least have the neshama of the mitzvah, which is the learning about the mitzvah. And that goes for many things as well. This was something that was advised many times over the past few months. A person is unable to perform a mitzvah due to the current situation we are in. So we'll tell the person, you're right, but learn about it. Can't go to shul, so learn Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Person can't, he's not going to be in shul for Yom Kippur, so learn Hilchos Yom Kippur, learn about the davening. When you learn it, you're touching the neshama of the mitzvah, even if you can't have the mitzvah itself. Meaning, what's going on over here? Not only does reciting the parshios of korbanos, the text of the Torah, make it as if you're offering the korban, but the same is for learning the Mishnayos as well. The Gemara Megillah and Tainus is about the Torah Shebichsav of korbanos. The Gemara Menachos is about learning the Torah Sheba'al Peh of Menachos. There's an Inyan Torah Shebichsav, and an Inyan Torah Shebaal Peh of the Korbanos. And Rosh Shimon Moshe Diskin and the Maaseh Samelach discusses it at length. There's two things going on over here. I think we actually notice a similar thing in another area of Halacha. The Takana of learning the Halachos 30 days before the holiday. The Mishnah Berurah in the Sha'arat Siyam in the beginning of Siman Tavchav Tes seems to say there's an Inyan to learn the Psukim and an Inyan to learn the Torah Sheba'al Peh as well. So again, we've had this idea, when there's a mitzvah to learn, there's a mitzvah to learn the Torah Shebichsav, and a mitzvah to learn the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, let's talk about, since we're over here, and then we'll get to the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, and then we'll wrap it up about women in general. When someone does not have time to say the parshios of the Korbanos, again, at least the bare minimum, without adding anything extra, is the parsha of the Korban Tamid, which is listed in your Siddurim, Parsha Satamid, and Ezehu Mekoman. That is the bare minimum of Korbanos. But let's say, if I say that, that means I'm not going to have time to say stuff from Sukkot Zimra, or something else like that. What goes? So, I know this is going to sound shocking to some extent, but these things, Ketores, Tamid, Ezehu Mekoman, versus things that are later additions to Pesukim Zimra take precedence. We will discuss this more in depth at some point, however long this keeps on going, but at some point when we get to Pesukim Zimra itself, we're going to discuss what is Iker Pesukim Zimra. Real Pesukim Zimra from the days of the Gemara is Barach Shamar Yishtabach, and in the middle, Ashrei, and all the Halukas. That is Pesukim Zimra. Everything else, you know, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Aspais V'David, Yichavod, Vayivarach David, Mizmor Lasoda, all those things are later additions in the period of the Savarayim and the Gonim. They're later to the Siddur. But what I have over here is the Gemara telling me to learn and to recite Mishnayos and Pesukim about Korbanos. That is earlier. So I would tell a person, if it means reciting Mizmor Lasoda, if it means reciting Vayivarach David, those things that are not Asher and the Halukas, I would put those forms, those pieces of Korbanos before them. They take precedence because those are things in the Gemara, while the other things come later as well. So that's how important, you know, the reciting of Korbanos is, that it predates the extra things that are added to Pesukim Zimra as well. Okay, let's talk about the very end right before Pesukim Zimra, and that is the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. The Tur in Siman Nun says that the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel is a form of learning Talmud like we discussed before. In addition, it's the introduction to Toras Kohanim. If you opened up Toras Kohanim, which is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, this introduces it, and that also connects to Korbanos. It's all about Korbanos. And again, we see the same two reasons, right? Is it simply a form of Torah Sheba'al Peh, or is it a form of Korbanos? That's the right, we're always, what's going on here? Is it about Torah Sheba'al Peh? Is it about Talmud Torah? Or is it about Korbanos? And that's the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel. And then that really leads us up to right before Pesukim Zimra. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in Halicha Shlomo that he would tell his students not to be weak about reciting korbanos. You got to make sure you say korbanos, and he would even mizarz them, strengthen them, even if it's difficult to be makbid, to make sure we say it during the course of the week, and make sure we get it in. The Yalkut Yosef says, "Af b'nei yeshivas v'tamei chachamim." Even guys in yeshiva, I'm learning all day. Okay, so you say korbanos. There's no excuse not to say korbanos. So the korban tamid, eizim mekumen, make sure you get those things in. So let's just end here about women. Women saying korbanos. The Maharil says that women make a birchas haTorah. Why? The women aren't chayav in Talmud Torah. Why should women make a birchas haTorah? Because the Maharil says they have to say the parsha of the korban tamid. So we see all the way from the days of the Maharil, he held that women had to say korbanos. The Tvuah are sure. Again, wants to understand from the Maharil that women must say korbanos. There's no reason not to. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that women only have to say the parsha of the korban tamid. And the Prima Gadim says that only men have to say korbanos. And the Tehila of the David explains that women don't have to give money to the Beis HaMikdash for korbanos. That's, the women are not chayv in paying that tax for korbanos. Women, their main focus in tefillah is asking Hashem for mercy. It's not the korbanos aspect of it. Their main role in tefillah is just that connection with Hashem. The Chidah says women have to chayv in korbanos because they have to bring korbanos for kapara. So there are all types of machlokas. So at the end of the day, is there a machlokas where the women have to say korbanos? Certainly. But, at least, I would recommend to say the parsha of the tamid. The parsha of the korban tamid, to try this every single day, because that is the main korban in the Beis HaMikdash, and connect to it somewhere. If you have more time, Ezer Mekuman, and that would be a good place to start. So, it took 2 weeks, but we covered all those in-between stuff between Birchas HaShachar and Sukkot HaZimra, and we'll have to discuss what to do, how to continue next time. Okay, we'll stop here.
Yeah, so could you just show me in the Siddur when you say